John chapter 14. It's part of what is known as the Paschal Discourse, where the Lord Jesus is gathered with his disciples at the time of the feast of the Passover. We see that from chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, and so on. He rises from supper and he washes the disciples' feet and he begins this discourse with them. And this is part of that, where the Lord is comforting his disciples because they're discouraged and they're downcast, knowing that he's going to go away. But I don't think that they're believing the right things at this point, because the Lord has to tell them that not only is he going to go away, but he's going to come again, and in the meantime he's going to give them the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit. But these are words that are very familiar to anyone who's been at a funeral where there's an evangelical preacher, because most men of God, not always, but many of them, will quote these verses at some point or another, and a lot of times it is at the passing of someone, and these are comforting words. Let not your heart be troubled. Chapter 14 begins. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I don't know about you, but I prefer this translation to what some Bibles have, which is, in my Father's house are many rooms. Well, if you want a room, that's up to you. But I'd rather have a mansion, just like the old song says, just over the hilltop, I have a mansion. Well, I'd rather have a mansion than a room. I'm glad the Lord's not just going to put me in a room. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then let's go down to verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. In recent prayer meetings and Bible studies, we've been talking about various things that help us in the place of prayer, thoughts that will encourage us as we seek the Lord. We talked about God's pardon and the sense of that, how that enables us to pray. We come to him on redemption ground. We spoke of God's presence, how that we can know that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And that's true when we come to pray. We have talked about God's power and how that encourages us. We come to one who is not only willing, but who is able to answer prayer. We then spoke about God's promises, and those are things that we can plead when we come to pray. Lord, this is what thou hast said, and so on the basis of what you have said, we can ask thee for things. We talk about God's provision, how that the Lord gives us answers to prayer. We think of all that the Lord has given us materially and physically. We think of all that the Lord has given us spiritually, the blessings that we have in Christ. And the thought is that will comfort our hearts that this will continue. The Lord will continue to provide for us as we seek him. And then we talk about God's perseverance, that is his staying power, the way that he remains with us and doesn't leave us and doesn't forsake us, but continues to work with us. And that's an encouragement to our hearts, the fact that the Lord is faithful, that he remains faithful to us despite our own unfaithfulness. And who among us can't say that we have not been unfaithful? We haven't been as faithful as we should have been. But you can never say that of the Lord. The Lord is infinitely faithful. He perseveres with us and perseveres in faithfulness. I want to talk now about God's peace. And the text that I want to think about here in this connection is particularly John 14:27. The Lord is talking to his disciples, but he's also talking to you and to me, for we are his disciples if we're truly saved. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These are lovely words of Christ. They're words that have comforted and strengthened many a Christian's heart. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. We can know great strength as we come to pray when the peace of God is keeping our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We've often thought of the words of Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. It means not being anxious or worried about anything. Be full of care for nothing, it means. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice that the peace of God is connected with prayer and supplication. This is how we get the peace of God. This is how it keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, as we pray, as we call upon the Lord's name. This is the alternative to being filled with care. It's being filled with peace. And the one who provides that peace is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's several things we can say about this, about the peace of God, the peace of Christ. It is provided. It's provided by Christ. Notice how he says, my peace I leave with you. Even though Christ was going to go away, he was going to leave his peace with them. My peace I give unto you. Peace, peace, God's peace. Wonderful gift from above, the hymn says. It's provided as a gift for us. This is a restless world, and there's a lot of people who are running to and fro, and they have no peace. They don't have peace with God, and of course it's because they're not saved that the Bible says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You find that in Isaiah 57:21. If we've not been reconciled unto God by the death of his Son, we cannot possibly have any understanding or experience of true peace, because peace only comes through trusting in Christ. Peace can only be known in reality by those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And that's the immediate thing that we think of when we think of the Lord giving us peace. He's talking to his disciples. He gives them peace because they've already been redeemed by the blood. We're taught by Colossians in the first chapter that our Lord Jesus Christ has actually made peace for us by the blood of his cross. You see that in Colossians 1:20. And having made peace, or making peace, through the blood of his cross, we have peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if there's no saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, it's impossible for us to know the peace that he talks about here. But if we assume that we have been brought to salvation, that is, that everybody here is truly the Lord's, we know what it is to have confessed our sins to the Lord, to repent of our sins, and to be assured of salvation through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus, then we have this peace that we can enjoy through Christ. It is our heritage. There's a hymn which says, peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace is something that is provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that we can rightly say that the peace that Jesus talks about here in John 14 is the result of peace with God. This is peace that is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. When we've already experienced peace with God through redemption, he gives us the peace of God. It's an interesting thing that when the Lord Jesus went to the cross and then he was raised from the dead, and the disciples didn't yet know that he was raised, and they were gathered in that upper room. And one thing they didn't have, and that is peace. They actually were filled with fear. They were filled with trepidation. And the Lord Jesus came, and John 20 verse 19 speaks of it, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. There they were, full of fear. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, what? Peace be unto you. That's the first thing he said. And no doubt they would have cast their minds back to that time, not so very long before that, when they were gathered in that upper room, when Jesus spoke these words in John 14, when he said, my peace I leave with you. But he had to say it again, peace be unto you. And sometimes we lose that peace, don't we? We lose the joy. The Lord has to speak to us again and reignite that peace within our hearts. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad when they saw the wounds of Christ. They were glad when they saw the marks of shame of Christ, his hands and his side. They realized he'd been crucified for them. Now he was alive. And so their hearts are filled with peace. And in case they didn't get it the first time, Jesus said it again. John 20 verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Peace that is provided. That's a peace that's given to us as the Lord's people. But we can say as well about the peace that Christ gives, that it's not only provided, it is often prevented. Peace is prevented. It's a blessed experience to have peace in our hearts. But we have to recognize that there are always powers that are seeking to disturb our peace. There are always things that come to disturb our peace. The scripture refers to the three enemies of the Christian: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if you ask some people which enemy is the worst, they might be tempted to say the devil. We sing with the children, Satan is my enemy, but he runs away from me if I take the Spirit's sword. Great and mighty is God's word. I'm not so sure that the devil is our greatest enemy. He may be the strong enemy of all of God's people. And the world is certainly our enemy. But what about the flesh? It was one of the great men of God in history who prayed, Lord, save me from that evil man, myself. The flesh is a great enemy. And maybe we don't want to grade our enemies into the most powerful, second most powerful, third most powerful. But I'm telling you, the flesh is strong and wants to have the upper hand. And all of these, the world, the flesh, and the devil, are the implacable enemies of God's people, and we have to contend with each of them as we journey on this pilgrimage to heaven. There's that which will prevent our peace, and we should never underestimate the reality or the strength of these enemies. Their activity is constant, it's intense, it's fierce, and sometimes their attack is greatest when we wouldn't expect it to be greatest. For instance, when you come to God's house, you might think, well, we're safe here because we're in the place of worship. The old devil can't get us in here. But don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? You know, Satan comes to church. He does. Even when people don't, Satan always comes to church. How do I know that? Because when the Lord Jesus talked about the sower sowing the seed, he talked about it falling on certain ground where the birds of the air come and snatch away the seed. And what did he liken that to? Satanic activity. He said that the birds come, and that's the devil. Then cometh the wicked one, he said, and taketh away the seed that was sown in their hearts. That tells me that when the word is preached, the devil is active in seeking to make that word ineffectual in the hearts of many. So let us not think that we're safe at any time from these enemies. Their activity is constant, it's intense, it's strong, and it causes great disturbance in the hearts of God's people. The lady who wrote Just As I Am Without One Plea, Charlotte Elliot, also wrote, "Christian, seek not yet repose, cast thy dreams of ease away, thou art in the midst of foes, watch and pray." Watch and pray. But while we're talking here about the strength of our enemies and how that they prevent our peace, we shouldn't exalt those powers higher than we ought to in our thinking, because there are powers that are working for us. In Ephesians 6:12 we're taught that we wrestle not against flesh and blood merely, it means not merely flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits in high places, Ephesians 6:12. But these are not the supreme powers, because while it is true that the devil is the prince of the power of the air, the Lord Jesus Christ is described as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil is a powerful enemy, so is the world, so is the flesh. But there is one who's stronger than all of those. Greater is he that is in you. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me. Into his hands all authority is committed." And when we look at the scripture, we see that peace comes from God to his people, and it comes in a certain way. Think of Isaiah 26 verse 3. We're to keep our minds upon the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. When we stop trusting in him, when we stop looking to him, that's when our peace disappears and evaporates. We have to keep looking unto the Lord. We need the Lord to come and to stop our enemy from preventing us having peace. He wants to rob us of our peace. But get that vision in your mind of the Prince of Peace. That's what Jesus is called, the Prince of Peace. Whenever he was with the disciples at the time when the storm came down on the lake, he stood up and he called upon the winds and the waves to be still. And what was the word he used? Peace, be still. Peace, be still. And those wild winds hushed. As someone said, the angry deep sank like a little child to sleep. What a tremendous thing it is that when the Lord gives quietness, who then can make trouble? The Lord gives us peace. That peace can be prevented, but there's one who can prevent the preventers of peace. And that's what we need, is for the Lord to come again to us and say, "My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The peace that Christ gives is not only provided, it's not only prevented, but it is precious. It's a precious thing, the peace that Christ gives. And the great thought for us to think about is not only that the Lord gives peace to us, but it's not just peace in the abstract. The scripture actually says of Christ, "For he is our peace." He himself is our peace. We find that in Ephesians chapter 2. And you'll see it there in verse 14. Let's read verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." And then it talks about him reconciling us unto God by the cross. And what did he do? Verse 17, "He came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh." The Lord has given us this precious gift of peace, but he himself is our peace. As I say, we live in a restless world. And sometimes our own hearts are very restless. And there is an absence, it seems, at times of the peace of God within. But how thankful we should be that when we look at the scriptures, the Lord has given us so many gracious words of comfort, words of promise concerning his peace, including John 14:27. Sometimes the seas of life are very turbulent. The Lord never ever promised that we would be travelling on still waters. Oh, it does say in the Psalm 23, he leadeth me beside the still waters. But sometimes when we get onto the waters, they're not so still. And sometimes we're out there in the middle of the lake, so to speak, like the disciples, and the waves and the winds begin to blow. Apparently, on Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, the storms would come up ever so quickly. Without warning, you'd be out there on sea that was just like glass, like a mirror as you looked at it, and then just all of a sudden there would be like hurricane type conditions that would just come down on that lake because of the atmosphere, the geographical location. And life can be just like that. You're going along and everything's nice and still, and it's like we're rowing our little boat, and then all of a sudden we're in the midst of a massive storm and it looks like we're going to go under, and it makes us fearful and apprehensive. And we have to remember at times like that that our Lord and our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the same one who, when he came to the disciples when they were in trouble, walked on the water and commanded, "Peace be still," to the winds and the waves. And there was a great calm. Sometimes we need the Lord to come and give that great calm. And he can do that. Someone wrote, "Though on earth we have scorn and trouble, in ourselves but shame and sin, all without the reign of darkness, fearful conflict oft within. He who died and lives forever saves and guards from every ill. Jesus walks upon the waters and commandeth, peace be still. My peace I give unto you." That's what Jesus said. "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." There is a false peace. There is a sort of a contentment that people have in their sinfulness. Nothing seems to bother them. They seem not to be in any trouble. You remember how the psalmist talked about that? He couldn't understand why it was that he, as a righteous man, was undergoing all these trials and afflictions and troubles, and yet the wicked seem to get off with everything. Just read Psalm 73. When you go home, read Psalm 73 and notice how the man of God can't understand why it is that the wicked seem to prosper and yet others are in trouble. He said, "I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He said, "They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." Isn't that one of the great mysteries of life? You look at some of these wicked people and they seem to be just as happy as they can be, just as content in their wickedness. But then the psalmist had to learn what the truth was. In the end, it's not going to be like that. And he learned when he went to the sanctuary of God, he said, "Then understood I their end." Psalm 73:17. And he talked about the Lord's judgments even upon them. And then he rejoiced in the fact that the Lord was on his side. "It is good for me to draw near to God." The peace of God comes to us in our time of need. It's a precious thing. It's a wonderful thing to have the Lord's peace. And we can have that peace in our hearts even as we pray. You know, it is possible to be calm when all around you the winds are raging and the waves are coming into the boat. It's possible to be calm in the midst of a storm. Sometimes we hear of these terrible tornadoes and hurricanes and straight line winds that come across this country, and I never cease to be amazed at the calmness of some people in the midst of that. They tell you whenever there's a hurricane coming or if there's some really bad tornado coming, one of the safest places to be is if you're in a regular house under the stairs. I don't know if that's true or not. But I've heard of people and I've seen people when there's a tornado coming, going under one of these underpasses, you know, one of these roads that goes over the top, and they get right up in there, right up into the cleft, as it were, under the road, where it's at an angle. They're right up there in that angle, in under there, and everything's raging around them, but right where they're situated, there's peace, there's calm. And the Lord can make us to be like that, as He gives us His peace. May He give us that in the place of prayer. May we be able to commit everything to Him that troubles us and worries us and potentially annoys us. May we just be able to come and say, Lord, fill my heart with Your peace. Because You said in Your word, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusteth in Thee. Peace, perfect peace in the midst of the storm. May the Lord grant us to have that each and every day, and not just tonight, for His glory. Amen.